Mike, you've been messing around. Talk to me. How in the heck did you find? All right. So here's the context. You got a new server.
Yeah.
And you're excited about it.
I'm excited.
It's a Windows server.
It's a Windows server. I'm not excited about the energy cost.
Is it? Did you put a kilowatt meter on it? Have you been?
It's got one. Okay. So draw is about 188.
That's not too. Yeah. Okay.
Not too bad. Okay. But
a couple really bad light bulbs.
Right. But okay. Yeah. A lot of really bad light bulbs. So you take that, you say, okay, 300 and I think 375 watt is my entire rack. That's $30 a month to run in Omaha. So, I mean, that's a lot of power. It's a lot of money. So, this started out with literally a simple Google search of how to make money with a home server. Like I'm thinking, okay, what do I host? What do I do? It was just a stupid thing. And so I found actually,
okay, hold on before you do that, I'm going to get an answer before you're going to leak this out. So I get some home server guys still out there listening live. There was a data and I'm embarrassed. I can't remember this. There was a host provider that we talked about on Home Server Show a lot where you could rent out basically hard drive space and they would send files. This company would send files. You couldn't see them. They were encrypted. And then so it was a way of distributed. Everybody would kind of share the load in the community of these backups. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember what the name of that service was. So chat room, I'm turning it over to you. There's some Home Server Show nerds out there who, for the life of me, I can't remember what that product was. Mike, what did you find?
Yeah, so I found this company called StoreJ, StoreJ.io. Essentially what they're based on is exactly what Jim just said, kind of the distributed computing, or not computing, distributed storage aspect of things. And they use the blockchain to achieve this. So when you think of a blockchain, you normally think of Bitcoin. So pretty much a distributed database sort-esque is how the blockchain works. And essentially what this does is you sign up and you download the application to your computer and you are volunteering up your hard drive space. So you say, okay, use this drive, use this much space, and they pay you in their own form of Ethereum coin called StoreJX. So you get paid in Ethereum for your usage, which is essentially your gigabyte hour is kind of how they do it. So think of like a kilowatt hour. They have a similar calculation for gigabyte hour. And so basically this is the farming side is what we're talking about. But StoreJ is essentially trying to compete with the Amazons, right? The massive storage conglomerates that people can store their data with. I don't think necessarily going after the consumer. I don't think this will replace Dropbox. Maybe it will, but I don't think that's their target market. There's rumors that Mega Upload is actually going to start using StoreJ as their storage. So this just got out of beta at the end of 2016. And so now it's out of beta and you can go and configure it. And it's kind of interesting. It's a very simple GUI. They actually just uploaded or updated the GUI today. So if you jump in, you can actually go and look at the payments. They show publicly what their payments are to each Ethereum address. So when you set up these nodes, there is no email address. There is no account. You have no account with them. You have nothing. What you give them is your Ethereum coin address. And when you go and look, when they publish their payments, you can go and see they publish them by Ethereum address only. So that is essentially your ID. So you can go out there and check who's getting paid, how much, how many, you know, gigabit or giga, whatever hours they had and how much they're getting paid. So extremely interesting. And I like the aspect though of distributed computing. So the way this works sounds very similar to what Jim was talking about earlier, but they take the file. So if someone has a file, they cut it up into shards and they encrypt it before it goes over the network. And then, so you've got all these tiny little shards and they distribute it out to all their farmers. So you have an encrypted bit of a file. So you don't even have the whole file. You have a small chunk of it and that is encrypted. So, so pretty secure, pretty fast when you think about distributing that over a wide network and you're pulling those shards from a bunch of different computers instead of one. And then they're redundant too. So those shards are distributed maybe to two or three farmers instead of just to one of them. And just kind of an overall very interesting type of project. I kind of like playing with it, playing around, seeing what I can do with it. There's a lot of custom settings. So the one thing, documentation wise, I mean, this is definitely for the advanced user. This is not for, this is not something that I don't think the average person could run. Number one, you kind of need some servers, computers that are on 24/7. Number two, there's just a lot of editing of certain config files and things like that to make it run correctly. But your electric bill is $30 per month, but you make 30 cents per month from a store day. Yeah. Well, so that's the thing, right? Is how much are these people making? Depends on how much you're willing to offer up and how much actually gets used. So I offered up 5 terabytes and possibly could be making, I think, about $30 a month, but we'll see how that goes.
5 terabytes?
Yeah. Yep. 5 terabytes depends on the bandwidth, right? So if you get a bunch of users, which they call contracts, if you get a bunch of users who are accessing their data quite a bit, the money is in the bandwidth. So you storing the file doesn't make you much money. What makes you money is if you have a user that's streaming the video from the storage or accessing that file all the time, changing files, because the bandwidth is kind of where you make the money. So I guess we'll see where it goes, but it's a very, very interesting project. I really like it. I've actually spent way more time than I want in their chat. They pretty much have a Slack. It's not Slack. It's called Rocket Chat, but it looks exactly like Slack. They have a Slack chat, 4 different channels. You can talk about the payouts. You can talk about kind of storage. And it's awesome. It's like a big chat room for all the users that are in there. Great part about it, it's small enough that that they can go ahead and still have those kind of chat rooms without it being annoying. So a lot of fun. I know that was just a little rant on storage, but something that if you have a bunch of extra storage lying around and you are technical and like playing around with this stuff like I do, it's a lot of fun to play with and easy to get in. But then the configuration, I'll just warn you, can be a little bit tedious at times.
In what sense?
All their settings are manual on offs and certain ones can conflict. So I did it with port forwarding. So each node has its own port. And what they don't tell you, and I kind of post this in the Facebook group. So the GUI is not robust enough to walk you through all of the setup. It does a great job of just getting you in. But if you really want to get in and actually do it right, you need to go into the config files and edit them yourself, which they have good documentation on. But for example, each node, and so a node is, hey, here's a node, here's a hard drive. You can take this much space, pay out to this Ethereum address. Every node has those components, you know, where am I storing it? Where do I pay you? Those sort of things. So for example, I have 3 nodes on one computer. I have, 3 different sets of hard drives that it can write to. And it tells you to just pick one port. So on one, it starts you out at 4,000. So I picked 4,000, I picked 4,001, 4,002, and thinking that was okay, but it doesn't tell you that in the back end, if you go in the config file, it'll take the first one you say. So if I say 4,000, and then it'll take 4,001 through 4,003 as kind of these backup tunnel ports. So you can't put anything on those ports, but the GUI doesn't tell you that. You will get no error. You'll just notice a bunch of wonky traffic and you won't get any contracts. It'll be really weird until you go into the config file and realize you have 2 things going to the same port, so it doesn't know what to do with it. So a little bit complicated in that regard, but I mean, I guess that's not really complicated. That's just kind of a headache, right? Figuring it out, because you can't go to YouTube and say, hey, how do I set up my storage? It's not that popular yet. There's not going to be any tutorials. You really got to read through the documentation and things like that. So kind of nice. And Ken asks, so you need good upload and can you schedule bandwidth limits? Good upload probably will help. To be honest with you, I haven't seen too much as far as traffic. I think I've got a ton of files on there. Like when you think of shards as in pieces of files, I have a ton of them, but it only adds up to about 8 to 9 megabytes per disk that I set up. And you think I offered terabytes on these disks. So traffic wise hasn't been too much. You can do bandwidth limits, not within StoreJay. Actually, that's a common question on their community. It's, you use a third party app. There's a bunch of third party apps out there where you can limit an application's bandwidth, and they suggest to go ahead and use those. I haven't had to do it yet because actually it's not using any bandwidth at all, really. I mean, 200 to 600 kilobits per second has kind of been the average there. And turning currency to cash is a good question, but you can do it on the anywhere that you can buy or sell Ethereum. So this is kind of the complicated part of it. So they changed the way the whole structure works, and only certain wallets will work with these alternative coins. So it's not really full Ethereum. It's an Ethereum based coin. So you have to have a special wallet that can accept this Storge X coin. And so once you get that wallet, you can, I believe, I have not been paid out yet. They pay out once a month. But after that payout, I will let you know how it goes. But apparently you can sell then on, if you have that wallet, you could transfer it to Ethereum and then sell that Ethereum is how I believe it will work. But like I said, I haven't done that yet. Paid out once a month.
It's early.
It's super early.
It's early, yeah.
But you think it's like actually a very... We're in the prime time of this. So if you are thinking about it, we are essentially, do you remember back when Bitcoin and all those, you could mine coins and it would actually be profitable to do it on your home computer back in the day, like a long time ago. Yeah. Well, we're at that stage right now with this, where it's still pretty profitable. Very early, not many people on it. I mean, we're talking a few thousand people. We're not talking even hundreds of thousands or anything yet. So if you want to get in on it, I would get in now.
Are you mining Ethereum bits? I mean, are you doing the mining?
You're
too,
getting or? The coins paid out for.
Oh, I got gotcha. Your.
So that's how they pay you, essentially. It's like instead of paying cash, they're paying you in these coins. But the value. So I was just trying to look this up, and I didn't get it completed before. So apparently, they just switched over to a different coin. They were not Ethereum based before, and now they are. So.
Yeah, it doesn't sound sketchy at all.
No.
I'm just kidding.
But it's one of those. It is interesting because it kind of does sound sketchy. That's the fun part about it.
Bitcoin sounded really sketchy when it first started too. And
right.
Hey, let's see. Echo, how much is a Bitcoin right now?
I don't know that.
Tell you in 2 seconds. It's on my.
Come on, Echo.
$2,593.
That's stupid.
Yeah. So
sorry, I'm not sure.
Yeah, she's not sure. But you bought in the thousands, right?
What do you mean? Yes. Yeah. No. Sorry. I did not buy. I bought right at about 2,300.
Okay.
So I've made a little bit of money so far, but we'll see. So.
Okay.
So they actually switched. Sorry. The old coin that they switched from is SJCX. And this is just the new StoreJ token. So that's how it works. So I was kind of a little bit confused because they just made the switch. They migrated their tokens, just a little bit ago. And so you're kind of getting paid in a different way than you were before.
It's interesting. I mean, you're out nothing. Like you're running the server, you know, you're not out a lot and you know, you're helping. It's interesting. 5 terabytes. Like what's your total storage on that box?
Oh, well, this is between two boxes. So the R710 has 3.5 terabytes. I'm offering up a terabyte from there, a terabyte from my NAS unit, a terabyte. What?
Does it capture that terabyte and take it so you can't use it?
No, it does not. Okay. So you can still use it until it starts to fill up.
Right.
It does not. It just says, hey, where can I store these files? So it'll grow until it hits that maximum.
Yeah.
So I put a terabyte on the NAS. I put a terabyte. I have an internal drive on my Dell Optiplex, that 790 that I run, threw a terabyte on there. I plugged in 2 external drives into that Optiplex. That's 2 more terabytes. So there's the 5 right there. So nice. You end up grabbing all your extra drives and just attaching them to a device you already have running. You say, might as well, and let's see how this goes. And in a few months, we'll see if I make any money.
And you're running the Windows software on the server?
Yep, running Windows software on the server and on the 790 on the Dell Optiplex.
Okay.
So running it on both of those.
2 instances.
Yep, 2 instances of StoreJ running.
Right.
Yeah. Make sure if you go out to download it, if you actually go to the StoreJ.io website and click download, it gives you a 32-bit version. So if you Google StoreJ release, it'll get you out to the GitHub, which has the 64-bit version. So something to keep in mind. I had to uninstall and reinstall, but it's just something fun to play with. There's all of these, the fun part too is the community around it is amazing. So they've built all of these sites, like storejstat.com. You go in there, you plug in all your nodes and it tells you, okay, what's live, what's the response time currently, what's your timeout rate, when was it last seen, so on the network, when's the last time it reported in for duty, just to make sure all your nodes are up and operating correctly, which is nice. So you got a bunch of all these just different, the community basically is built up around it to support it. So kind of interesting. I hope this will be one of those things. It's kind of like Bitcoin when it first started out. People are like, we'll see if this goes anywhere. So like we said, we'll see if this goes anywhere. But a very interesting concept and one that's really fun to play with. And I guess no harm, no foul, right? Well, at least for now, we'll see if there's any foul. But
no, it's encrypted data, so it's not like there's no way you can piece it back together.
No.
So and you're not. Are now is there an they give you storage in the cloud for this too, right? So you get 25 gig of storage for free from them, right? And you can
buy. That's if you're a user,
right?
So the user, the 25 gigs is on the farmer's space,
right?
So cloud is distributed,
but you could open an account and use the farm for up to 25 gig, right? For free.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to be a user of this, you totally could be.
Yeah.
Now, 25 gig of storage for free, that does not include the bandwidth.
Gotcha.
So you still got to pay for the bandwidth. Well, but
no, I think the first 25 gig of bandwidth is free too.
Oh, is it?
25 gig of storage, 25 gig of bandwidth.
Okay.
Cold storage for sure. Right.
It's definitely cold storage. And when you look at the prices compared to an Amazon, now obviously it's got to prove itself as reliable and speedy and everything like that as Amazon, but about half the price as some of the Amazon storage services, depending on which tier you compare it to. But they're kind of that's who they're gunning after, right? Is those competitors for cold storage.
Yeah. You kind of wonder, you know, you're going after some businesses and you're like, oh yeah, we've basically blown your data up and we're placing it all over the web on this rented space that's you know, and a lot of business users are like, how about I just buy, this is my business,
right?
How about I just buy, I'll pay a little bit extra for space.
Well, and you know, you have the worry too, okay, if all these users decided that we're revolting and we're turning off our machines, those companies lost all their data.
Well, like
there's parity, but not at a data center anywhere, just among to another farmer. So if all the farmers up and leave, there goes the farm.
When Walla did this, that was the name of the company that did this, you know, for storage. Same kind of deal, same exact kind of deal. They kept a copy in their data center. So you became the data center's backup. That was their saved money by not having to have that data into, you know, they didn't have to have the data center and the backup. You were the
right
for it.
Okay.
And LaCie was the company behind that, and they scuttled it at some point.
See if I can
and that's, I haven't said voila. I love that service. I love this concept, this community based.
Oh, me too. So can you guys see this? I'm just RDP'd into this is into the Dell Optiplex machine. And I actually just rebooted these. I was getting caught playing with some of the settings. So basically what you have is each of these is a node, and you'll see that, you know, this is the location. So on my iDrive, and I just create a storage A folder in each one of them. You got your uptime. So these were just restarted 25 minutes ago. Peers, you think of like, you know, a BitTorrent. If you ever done BitTorrent, this is how many other people are connected in your pool. So how many other people are probably sharing those shards with you. And then you've got how much data is actually used. So this is what I'm talking about, where it's very small right now. Now these have only been running for like 2 days. So, but still only like 7 megabytes on the biggest one. And then your port setting. So this GUI, this is all you get. There's no, like, even when I click edit here, if I were to stop this service and click edit, it opens a text edit on the config file. So there's no, that's as far as the GUI goes. So, I mean, yes, it looks nice and neat, but to do anything, you actually need to get into the config files, which you do. There's actually quite a bit of stuff you need to get in there for. So that overall, and then I will show you as well. So that's kind of the GUI on the server side. And then if you were to go into Let's see. Do you see this?
Yep.
You do.
Yep.
Okay. So if you were to go into here, this shows you, this is kind of your, this is that store stat, storejstat.com, where I plugged in all my nodes, gives you your last scene, a timeout, your timeout rate, and your response time. So this is apparently updated every hour. And apparently I had one of my settings wrong. So I'm hoping when this refreshes an hour, my response time is not in the 9,000s of milliseconds. I'm hoping it's down to much lower than that, 2 to 4. But yeah, but kind of interesting how you can go into these dashboards and it tells me I have all my nodes are online, but it's saying I have slow nodes and high timeout. And I'm hopefully that resets in about an hour because I changed the settings. But yeah, just a lot of fun.
Can you keep track of how much your coin or your payout is? Where does it show that?
You know, you can't on here, but this is kind of the interesting part. So if I go to here, there, I mean, this is public information. Anyone can sign up. So I'm not doing anything by showing this. Okay. So this is the chat. Doesn't that look exactly like Slack? I mean, you got your,
oh yeah.
It's Rocket Chat. Apparently it's
probably the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. Got to go up here. This is weird. It should have been right here.
While you're looking it up, other Jim says in chat, there's an old joke about how to never lose your data. Include it into dirty pictures or porn and upload it to the internet. The porn rings will keep it available forever.
So this is actually the Google Doc that they keep. This is what they share with everyone. This is the accounting system that they have. So if you look at this,
it's a ledger, right? I mean, that's
the ledger. This is what it is.
The blockchain.
So when you are looking at your payout, these are all your addresses. So your Ethereum addresses, your gigabyte hours, telemetry report account, which I got to look into really what that is. It's kind of how they convert it over to a number that they can use to base your payoff of. Bytes payout amount in StoreJ coins, and then what that equates to in US dollars. That's how you would do it. So you can go look up and you would basically do a find on your Ethereum address and just see how much you're getting.
So is that $2 for that very top one?
Yep. This person's getting $2.
And so, I'm assuming you're still in the cents at this point.
Yeah. You actually don't get paid out until you get to a gigabyte hour. So until I get to, let's go.
Well, it's interesting because I don't know if
there are some people here who are getting paid $505 a month. Now, I don't know how much. I mean, so there's their gigabit hours and there's their downloaded bytes. But yeah, they're getting paid $505. Now, obviously, it's pretty rare. I mean, this is, I think, 5,000 lines long and I just sorted it. So you got some people up in the high numbers. You got a lot down here in the 30s, 20s, lower than that. 12s starts to average out, I would say around 8 or 7.
Yeah. 6. It'd be interesting to know how long they've been on the, you know,
system. Exactly.
Yeah.
But the kind of the cool part is too. So the value of the StoreJ coin is actually going up. So when they switched over, I think you're getting paid in StoreJ, you could actually hold out and see if that goes up, if this company does well and Mega Upload actually does have a deal with them and things like that and takes off, you know, your $3 now could be worth a different amount later. So
right.
Adds a whole nother, you know, just fun aspect to the game.
And you don't have to have a screaming fast box to do this, right?
At all.
It's just,
none.
It's just storage. So
right.
I got an old Gen 7, I think, you know, server that I use for Windows Server.
Right.
You put that on there and it's got a few drives on it. You could kind of grow that. That could kind of be your StoreJ server.
Oh yeah.
And as one drive fills up, right, then you, and if it's working, then you're like, well, okay, let's add another node, right? Is there any advantage to having multiple nodes to start with, or will that get you more storage if you offer more nodes?
You know, that's a good question. Some of my nodes, like, one node is up at 7 megabytes while one's down at 200 kilobits. Kilobytes.
You need a 1 gig load
to get a payout is apparently what it is.
Okay.
So, It's a rabbit hole, though. I warn you, if you get into this and you start going through all the documentation, you will spend hours because it's fun. It's also, I mean, just kind of complicated. So it's hard to wrap your brain around. Even me, I've looked through this stuff for the last 2 days and trying to get through all the different reports of how it happens. Ted asked how often the pay cycle is. It's monthly. So they just released the June payout report and they'll pay out here in a few days. So at the end of each month, they'll issue the report for the last month and you can go and check and see if you had enough to be on the list and then go from there. Initially, they were during beta, there was a lot of store J's files that they were testing. So they're basically doing stress tests. So they didn't have any customers. They were throwing out these massive amounts of files to all their farmers, still paying their farmers, which is kind of nice for basically stress testing the system, seeing how well it works. If someone throws a bunch of video files up there, can it handle it? That sort of stuff.
I'll have to give it a shot.
No harm, no foul, right? You might as well try.
I can always ping you for help for the getting set up.
Yeah, I figured out that.
Do you have to do port forwarding to make this thing work?
No. And I think actually that's one of my problems, actually. Do you have UPnP set up on your network?
I'd have to look on them. It's
so easily on. Either need to port forward or have UPnP set up. But if you have either one of those, then you should be good to go.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a. Would be interesting. Again, it fits into that Walla criteria. And, you know, I love that. I love that concept. So,
right.
Let's see. Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
StoreJ.
StoreJ.io is the website. When store does not have an E. STORJ.
Yeah. How long have they been doing this?
I think since early 2016, I think was when they released their first beta. So beta wave A. So these guys won a hackathon. They won a hackathon and they said, okay, there's a viable business behind this. And they went out and started it and they were off to the races. So it's one of those fun things that, you know, in 3 years, this could be the Bitcoin that you and I are so frustrated with that if we would have listened 3 years ago, you know, we could have had a little fortune built up, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. I mean that,
I'm not trying to miss out on any of those anymore.
From our first show when we were talking with,
like $10?
No, it's three. No, no, it was 300.
Oh, was it?
It's just two. Yeah. It was 268 or something like that. Hold on. I think I have
still
here. Hold on. But yeah, I mean, even at 300, let's see here. Edward. 269, 308. So we had him on at 223. I think that's the first time he was on, July 25th of 2015. And I had interviewed him before at one of the conferences.
Ken, to answer your question, yes, I run outdoor PoE cameras and it runs through my attic. So I had it really easy. I punched through with a drill. And then I sealed it up with a little bit of that spray foam that kind of goes and expands and it worked pretty well.
During that show, because I had set up a Coinbase account.
That's what I use, Coinbase. They're one of the rare U.S.
Can you use Coinbase to Coinbase wallet to accept these?
No, so that's the interesting thing. And you get confused. You're like, oh, an Ethereum. So my Ether wallet is the best way to go. Very, very easy to set up. Super secure. You get a download file that has all of your key in it. And you also set up a password. So anytime you want to get into your wallet on My Ether Wallet, you go to My Ether Wallet, upload your file, type in the password, and it unlocks your wallet for you so you can see everything. That's one they suggest if you're going to do this. And it takes 2 seconds to set up. See, Coinbase is different. So Coinbase is an exchange where you can buy and sell. So all the information that you needed to set up a Coinbase account, I mean, that took forever to set that up. When I set mine up, the My Ether wallet is legitimately 2 seconds. Just you type in a password and it gives you the file.
So when we set this Bitcoin up, for every $100 I deposited, they gave you $25. That was
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It says CoinDesk. I have a link here.
CoinDesk or Coinbase?
No, hold on. It says, during the show, I created a Coinbase account. I get $25 Bitcoin credit for every $100 deposited if I do it through this link. I wonder if this thing still works. It's a referral type deal. So if I referred folks on, they deposit $100, I would have made $25. For every $100, I would have made $25, right, for referral.
Okay.
But it still works, actually. Not worth as much, or at least the link is still there. Not worth as much today, or it's harder to, you know, to buy. But I think, you know, let's just do the math. So you jump in, you know, you buy 3 Bitcoin for $1,000. You hold them till today. That's now $7,000.
Right.
Yeah. 7 times.
Yep. It's
that's stupid.
It is.
It's just stupid. It is just stupid dumb. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, I don't know. So if I go to StoreJ, I see the place to download the Windows.
Don't download
StoreJ share for Windows. What you're saying is Google.
It's a GitHub. Just say StoreJ releases,
I believe.
StoreJ release.
StoreJ releases. So it's releases on GitHub. /StoreJ/StoreJ share. Just make sure on StoreJ share that's what you want.
In the GUI.
6.2. Yep.
GUI. Here's the.
So is it 6.2?
I'll throw it in the chat room. 6.2.0.
Yep. And then so there's that Win64.
The Win64 download down there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll throw that on the Drobo. I think I'm going to give it a try. So in theory, go in, set this up.
Yep.
Does it walk me through, tell me how to set up the accounts and stuff for payment?
There's no accounts. All it is your Ethereum address. So go to myetherwallet.com or .org.
.org.
Myetherwallet.com. The front page is literally enter a password, any password you want, click create new wallet, and you're done.
Myetherwallet.com?
Yep.
No, it's not right. Can you put that in the chat room?
Yes.
No, yours was right. I just didn't spell it right.
So you would create a new password. It'll give you a download file. That is very important. Put that on your home server, all your computers. Make sure you have that. That's how you get into your wallet. And then it'll give you an address.
If I already created a wallet somewhere.
Well, this is, something like, is it an X20 compatible or something like that? Basically, it's got to be able to accept these coins that aren't Ethereum, but are Ethereum based. Is kind of how it works.
Okay. I'll let LastPass create it for me. One sec here.
That's not a bad idea. So then even if someone got a hold of your file, they would still need your password. That's how that works. So if someone if you put the file that they're about to give you in a Dropbox and someone hacks it and gets it, they would still need your password. So it's a little bit of two-factor authentication there. For all the $3 you're going to make off of storage in the next year.
Yeah, you got to do some stuff, don't you? You'd have to have some pretty good storage.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see, right? I think it's going to be a lot about the traffic that they get if they do get some of these big partnerships, and the few thousands of us that are signed up do get all this traffic all of a sudden, it'll be great for us. If the platform blows up before it gets any customers, it'll be terrible for us. So we'll just see how it goes.
But you're not out anything.
No, you're not out anything at all. You delete the app, you delete the files, you're done.
Save your private key. So I downloaded a... Yep.
So that's the file you need to keep safe. So put it everywhere so it's accessible. But make sure you have it.
And it's a UTC number?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. There, we'll throw this out here. I have a file that says do not delete. I'll put that in there. That gets backed up. So, okay. So I got that. Save your private key. That's the same thing, I'm assuming.
So if you up top, there's like new wallet. Once you have that, you can go to like send Ether and tokens. I just click on that. It'll say upload your file. So upload the same file you just downloaded, type in your password, and then click unlock. And then you'll have your account address, which will show.
Unlock your wallet to see your address. Is that what you said?
Yep.
There we go. Keystone, select your wallet file. Let's go to the downloads because that's where I put it. For now, downloads, it's going to be at the very bottom. Grab that, pay open, select wallet value, put the password in. Oh, that's not right. Let's see, did it save it? Oh, scheisse. I might have to start over. Now, what happens, like, so if I lose this, if I did it wrong and I lose this, it just means I have to start over and get a new one, right?
Yep.
And that, yeah, then that comes out of the, that's an address that's permanently lost in the Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's an address that it's out there, it's valid, but no one can access it. Okay.
I copy and pasted it because I was going to save it, and I didn't save it. let's see if it's...
It should just download that UTC file, right?
Yeah. No, it did it, but I don't think I saved it. You know, I used a 16-character password from LastPass. I don't think I saved that password anymore.
Oh, save the password. Gotcha. Yeah. I think I meant the file.
So I got to start over. All right. Nothing like doing this live. I'm actually going to stop because it's really hard to do this live. Guys, if you're out there, can you hang tight for 1 second, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
If you're out there, still out there, thanks for staying up with us and appreciate it. I'm going to delete this file off here because I'll never get back to it. To get confused. Actually, I don't want to do this live, but I may walk through a quick setup. You got time to walk me through
setup? Totally.
Okay. All right. So I don't want to broadcast that because there's lots of numbers that... You know, and it's not all that exciting to hear it done. So maybe
report back next week. Oh, so Ken's following along. What do I do after I unlock the wallet? And when you unlock the wallet, on the right side, there will be your address. Here, I can show you. Because I don't care if people see my address. Send me all the Bitcoins you want or Ethereum coins you want.
They have to have your password.
Yep. So...
set up a new wallet.
So once you unlock it, Ken, hopefully you can see this. Your account address is right here. And then when you go into the StoreJ GUI and you're setting up a new node, this is like the first question I believe that asks you is what account address do you want to use? Just simply copy and paste this address over there. And you guys can see that. So these token balances, this is what you're getting is an Ethereum token. And one of the available ones down here, there's actually a ton of these, is StoreJ. So you'll start to, your address will start to accumulate StoreJ tokens, which you could later transfer and purchase, which again, I know Ken, I think it was you that had asked how that all works. And I don't know yet. I will let you know as soon as I get some, but we'll see. So Ken, hopefully that helps. That's the last step. Oh, so when you're going in and editing one quick thing is if you're doing this on a Windows machine, it stores. So in your program files, that is where the StoreJ stuff is stored, but the configuration for the node, they were smart. They stored it somewhere else. So if you go to your users folder, click on you, whatever it is, like for me, mWeager, there's a .config folder that it creates. And in there you will find a configuration files. It'll be the name of the node. And those are the files there, JSON files. So as soon as you can edit those in text edit. And those are that's where the config files are stored. So I was looking in the program files. They're not there. They're in the .config folder under your user. Once you get a node set up, they will show up there. Yeah, from My Ether wallet, keep your file, keep that safe, because if you don't have that, you cannot get back into this wallet. So if you start accumulating millions of dollars and you lost that file, you're out. So so just keep that file and the address, copy and paste it somewhere so you have it easily accessible for when you're putting it in your node. And that's all you need from the wallet side of things. And for anyone else who's listening to this after the fact, I don't know if you are or not, but you don't need to use My Ether wallet. That's the one that StoreJ suggests. A lot of people use it. Very popular. I kind of trust them. So that's what I use. But you can really use any Ethereum wallet that supports the tokens, which you got to make sure they do. Because like Jim mentioned, Coinbase does offer Ethereum. I can buy and sell Ethereum through Coinbase, but it does not support the tokens. So just make sure you get a wallet that does. But all right, we can hop off. So I can walk through Jim.
But yeah.
Ken, if you have any other questions, just hit me up on Facebook or Twitter or something. I can help you out. And that goes for anyone, actually. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Cool. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks for coming out.